37 degrees. You know why it got warm?
Because the sun came up?
No, because Katie's here.
Oh,
to bring
warmth. Katie got here.
Yeah, because Miss Katie's here from over at Oakley Village in Lexington. The positive points on aging, something we do at 8:35 every Tuesday morning. We really enjoy doing this, and it's a really important feature that we talk about some important issues, some difficult issues sometimes to talk about, but necessary issues. And then some of them are fun, and some of them are very awkward at times.
Right.
But we have to still have these talks. They're very important to the people we love and very important. I read where more people are turning 65 in the year 2024 than ever in the history of this country this year.
Really?
More people are turning 65 this year than ever before in the history of this country.
I mean, that's
the boomers.
Beautiful about life expectancy, right?
Well, but it's also just talking about how that is still our fastest growing population right now is the boomers.
Yeah.
And so we are going to have a lot more of dementia, a lot more of Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. That's why we are working so hard to try to get in front of it, and why we bring in Katie and Karen to help us deal with things when we encounter that with people we care about, because it's an inevitability that it's going to happen to people we care about in some capacity. It might not be directly in your family. Hopefully it's not. But if it is, you know, we're there. So today, therapeutic fibbing. What does that mean?
So, you know, I've had a lot of families that come in and their loved one has, you know, some type of dementia, and they come in and they're very upset and they're bothered because their mom doesn't want to go to a nursing home. So then they're trying to figure out how that they can get their loved one into a safe environment or in a safe space that they can get the care and the love that they need. Mm-hmm. But they think mom's going to be mad because you're doing it. So they're trying to figure out a way of wording it to where mom understands where she's going or why she's going there. So there's been lots of studies and research, and Alzheimer's Association has some information about it. AARP has information about it, but it's called therapeutic fibbing. And you're saying certain things. It's not that you're lying, but what you're trying to do is, basically convince them that this is the best scenario, this is the best situation, or this is the best answer. We have folks in our dementia area now that we do have a conversation with, and they may say, well, where's daddy? Mm-hmm. You know, daddy's not here. Where's daddy?
Right.
And so many times we've had families come in and go, well, you know, remember daddy died back in 1997.
Right.
You were at the funeral and they were buried at this. I mean, they go into the whole entire story.
Sure.
And for that person that has dementia, you know, they had forgotten about that moment.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So now you're bringing it back up. Well, then guess what happens?
You put them through it all over
that
again.
That grief.
Starts all over again.
You bring up topics that hit so close to home, because after I lost my mom in December of last year, I have my cousin Marty. Mm-hmm. He's got dementia. God bless you.
Bless you.
And I got my cousin Marty, who has dementia.
Right.
And in the every single time since I've spoken to him, first thing he'll say to me, how's Ruthie doing?
Yeah.
And I say, oh, she's doing great. You know, everything is going great. I wish she were here with me right now. I'm sure she'd want to say hello to you.
Right.
Not even lying.
Right.
Fibbing, kind of, but not even lying, kind of what you're saying. And it just dawned on me, like, I'm doing the right thing for him.
Absolutely.
Even if it hurts me to know that I'm deceiving him.
Right.
I know I'm doing the right thing.
Right.
Is this what we're talking about?
Exactly.
Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah. And I hate that. You know, I feel like I'm talking to him in a dishonest way.
Right.
But why would I want to say to Cousin Marty, obviously it's important, the first thing he's asking about is my mom.
Right.
Why would I want to tell him again after the initial time of telling him when it happened? I did feel like I had to tell him the first time.
Right.
But why would I want to tell him every time I've spoken to him since?
Right.
That's going on, because I'm not even with him. He's in assisted living in Michigan.
Right.
I can't be there to comfort him. I get to hang up the phone, and then he has to deal with whatever comes next. Right. And so it's just so much easier on both sides to do what you're talking about. And it is fibbing. I mean,
to your point, though,
it's the right thing.
But you said what was true, which is, I wish she was with me right now.
I purposely chose those words.
And that is true. You do believe, you do feel that way about it.
So, and I do believe she's doing great, because I do believe she's, you know, with my daddy in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I believe she's with God, and I believe I believe she's in a great place.
Yep.
So, yes, I'm not being truthful in the sense that, I'll see her tonight for dinner. No, I won't. But But I'm saying it the best way I know how to protect.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly all the therapeutic is you're trying to tell them something that either redirects them in a different conversation, which we talk about redirection all the time, mm-hmm. but you're redirecting the conversation in a different way, or what you're doing is giving them that quick peace of mind, and then you're changing the subject.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. what you've done with your cousin is truly, you just give them a quick peace of mind,
right.
and then you automatically
move on to something else.
Exactly,
yes.
Every time.
Absolutely.
And that's how it basically you should do. And a lot of folks have a hard time. Well, I don't like lying to mama. Mm-hmm. I don't like lying. Well, you're not necessarily lying. You're truly loving your person by giving them peace of mind at that moment.
Right.
I ask you to think about the alternative.
Right.
Who are you protecting? Yourself?
Correct.
Or the other person? Who are you being selfish for?
Right.
If you fib. If you fib, you're protecting them and you're also protecting yourself. If you tell the truth, you're really going to hurt them and you might feel, at least I didn't lie.
Right.
Well, who did you really help?
Right.
Well, but I think that the key there is then to find the phrase that you need.
Correct.
Or to find those specific words you can use that won't feel dishonest,
yes.
but will feel gentle and compassionate for this person who, again, you probably only have to do this once or twice before mm-hmm. you realize, like, okay, telling them or telling the truth, you remember your daddy died back right. in, 1987, right?
Yeah.
Like, the second time you have to do that, the third time you have to do that, you got to be like, there's got to be a better way
right.
than to
working.
Keep revisiting this trauma on mm-hmm. my mom over and over and over again.
Every time. And the other key point to that is not only do you need to know that you're doing this therapeutic fib, you need to make sure that whoever is going to be seeing that person knows what your therapeutic fib is so
right.
they can continue that
right.
therapeutic fib.
Right, right, right.
Because if you sit there and have a conversation with them and everything seems hunky-dory and you've already done your therapeutic fibbing and then Uncle Joe walks
right.
in the door and Uncle Joe says, oh,
yeah.
how you doing? Oh, well, how's Mary, my sister?
Right.
And then Uncle Joe has said, oh, well, honey, she died. And then you got the whole conversation
right.
all back over again.
Boom. Blows up in your face.
Blows up. So
yeah.
you have to have communication with your family.
Yeah.
Whoever comes and visits.
You do.
And
you
that
do.
Makes, and that's hard because then
yeah.
once you've convinced yourself that it's okay to have that therapeutic
right.
fibbing, now you got to have a conversation with them. This is therapeutic fibbing. You're not
right.
lying.
No.
You're doing the therapeutic fibbing.
Right.
So it makes a big difference.
How to convince them that it's the same.
It's the same.
That it's the
yeah.
right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. And again, it really is a conflict from the standpoint of we always teach our children not to lie and this
right.
and that. But we've always known. We've always known that there's been fibbing even with our own kids,
absolutely.
To a certain extent that we will. I've always had the philosophy with Hayden and Jacob, my babies, that I'll always tell you the truth, but only as much as you need to know.
Correct.
Kind of thing. And
yeah,
there's the term. What is it? Lying by omission or whatever
well,
it is.
I mean, there's the Santa Claus stories,
yeah.
right?
Santa's good.
We're in conversation frequently where people are doubting what's
right.
being said.
Right.
And then we go, okay, this is where this comes from. This is why we're having
yeah.
these conversations
like,
and helping people
I know
understand
Michael Jackson's still alive.
More complicated things.
I know Michael Jackson's living in a compound in Toronto right now. I know this to be true in my heart. I know this is true.
Right.
And everybody that keeps telling me that he died, I know that you're saying that for your own benefit or because he hasn't put out any music recently.
Right.
But I'm sure he's alive.
Right.
But my point is I want you to keep telling me what,
We're
what
not
I need
rocking
to hear.
Conspiracy theories here. We're just saving
no.
mom the heartache of
yeah,
going through
really
her dad's
true.
Death
Correct.
Over and over and over again.
Correct.
You run
yeah.
yourself into a situation. And again, I think you have to look at this two ways. One is the moral side of it. And then the other side is the compassionate side.
Yeah.
And what's more important in this case? It's the compassionate side by far.
Right.
Because morally, it's morally more important to be compassionate.
Right.
Than it is for you to be down the line, straight up, tell the truth all the time and put someone through pain every single time you see them.
Right. So if you don't like the word therapeutic fibbing, you can call it a loving lie.
A lot of truth to what you're saying. Yeah. All right, listen.
Euphemisms.
Let's head over to the Fox Business Report. Miss Katie's with us from Oakleaf Village, and we're having an important topic about something that sometimes you need to do.
Morning Mornings with Kev. Columbia's local talk radio experience continues now from the BART Fireside Studios.
I get so fired up when this song plays.
Me too.
I really do. This is a great bumper. What a perfect bumper for the morning program.
Me too. I don't know, because like now we're going back to our conversation about dementia and
I know, but
and compassionate.
I'm fired up to talk about lying. You know,
we're over here rocking out.
That's okay. That's okay. Miss Katie's with us from Oakley Village. This is our positive points on aging. I'm going to hand it off to you, Casey, because you guys were having a really interesting talk during the break about where we were going with this, and I found what you were saying, Casey, to be really an area where I didn't think of, and I really am glad you went there or about to go there.
So I thought when the conversation first started, I thought the direction we were headed was to talk to your loved ones about care that they may not be ready for, or they feel like it's not the right care decision for them.
Right.
But you know, and their providers know that this is the right, maybe the only decision for them.
Correct.
And so using some of this compassionate fibbing to explain, you know, in a way that still maintains their dignity, that still, you know, respects their integrity, like trying to say, hey, I get it that that's what you want, but here's the way it needs to be.
Right.
And here's what life is going to look like, you know, after we make these really tough choices.
Absolutely. You got the safety issues with people coming into their home. So you're wanting... And that's probably one thing that people will do is they'll start extending where other people are coming in to help.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't need no help is a lot of times what they're going to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Is, oh, well, it's not help. She's coming to visit. Well, there's your little tiny little therapeutic fibbing that you're already doing.
Right.
You're needing to go to the grocery store. You're needing to take a break for 5 minutes so you can relax. So what you're doing is you're probably hiring, you know, in-home caregivers, or you have a neighbor that's going to come over and stay for a couple of hours. And that's probably one of your little tiniest small steps.
Right.
That you
I don't need a babysitter.
Don't need a babysitter.
She's not here to babysit you. She's here to keep you company while I'm gone for the next couple of hours.
She's coming over here to play Scrabble with you.
Right.
So whatever that therapeutic fibbing is, you just make sure that person that comes in the door knows that that's what you're having is, you know, therapeutic fibbing is, this is my story. We're sticking with it because she loves Scrabble. She hasn't played it in a long time.
Right.
You're somebody different. We're just telling her that you're, you know, one of the biggest competitors in the neighborhood. So
right.
Whatever your story is,
right.
That's what you can go with.
You're out there telling everybody you're the best Scrabble player around, but
right.
We know Mom's better than you are.
Exactly.
So you've been challenged, Mom, to play Scrabble.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's one of the little small ones that you can start out with if that's something that you can think of. That's,
sure.
You know, whatever benefits her, whatever is related to her or him, just depends. Then if you're looking at independent living, well, independent living, the good thing about that kind of therapeutic fibbing is they really don't want to be, you know, mowing their own lawn anymore.
Right.
They really don't want to be cooking in the kitchen full meals. They
mm-hmm.
might want to heat up a little something. So therapeutic fibbing on that aspect of it would just be something smaller, like now you don't have to do this and you don't have to do that. And you're still having people coming in and checking on them. So when you're telling them those things, that's not a lie. But if she says, well, I can do this on my own, we know that you can do this on your own. We just want you to do it somewhere that's going to be less maintenance for you, which
right.
is all true to an extent.
Right. In this case, kind of playing up the positives.
Correct.
And talking about the advantages of this and trying to build a vision for them of what this life is going to look like
yep.
in the most positive possible way.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Feel like it's kind of interesting when it comes to having to kind of build a network
mm-hmm.
around you of everybody kind of keeping the story the same.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting direction to have to take because you're not always going to remember everybody that comes into the circle.
Right.
And truth. Or false, true or false, am I right or wrong about this, Katie? It's very common for someone who has dementia to ask you something and then maybe 10 minutes later ask you the same exact thing or ask every person that comes into the room the same exact thing.
If they're on a tick and that's the only thing that they're thinking
right.
about that day, yeah, they'll ask it 100 times.
Right, and so my question
yeah.
there is, you run into a situation, because you can't control everybody that's going to,
mm-hmm.
you know, they might, the post office,
right.
You're not going to think of every person you need to get in on your fib.
Right.
And so that's the danger of that is you can have a network of your immediate family and
right.
friends that you know are going to see mama or you know are going to see so-and-so, but you can't control the entire environment.
Right.
So you just got to pick your battles and hope for the best. But again, I just think of it from a compassion standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just a strategy, right? Like, it's just one strategy. And if you've got a family member, you're all surrounding this person to share, like, this is the strategy we're using with mom. I'd like it if everybody respected that strategy. Her caregivers know this is the strategy. Like, I think you're giving us a vocabulary we can use to talk about this. Mm-hmm. It's not, hey, we're going to be lying to dad about, you know, his sister or whatever. It's like, hey, one of our strategies is that we don't want dad to go through this hurt again. And so we're just letting him know his sister's just fine.
Yep.
Right. And she'll you know, get in contact when she's ready.
Right.
To bring in a pop culture reference to this without, I'm not trying to be funny, but it's really something maybe others that are listening can relate to. Remember the movie 50 First Dates?
We just watched it this past weekend.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's a perfect example of it where the character obviously suffered a situation, and every now and then she had, hey, we're having a bad day. We're having a bad day. She figured out what's really going wrong.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about. Is every now and then you're going to have a bad day.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, every now and then. But if you can keep the family on the same page, and I love the word you use, Casey.
Strategy.
Strategy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's a pretty good way of phrasing it. Is you're not trying to deceive. You're not trying to hurt somebody.
Right.
You're just trying to protect them. And at the same time, avoid those, hey, we're having a bad day moments.
Right.
Yeah.
Just something to think about.
And when you talk with your primary care provider, the person that you're going to see, let them know that this is what we've been doing. You know, if the stages of their dementia changes, then you're going to have to change with those stages as well.
Right.
So it may not be that you have to ever say a therapeutic fib again. It could be that they're just not even talking about it anymore. It may be something completely different where they remember being on the field, you know, helping their dad with the mules.
Right.
My granny used to call her walker a mule all the time.
Sure.
So when she called it a mule, she was also thinking about back when she was. So sometimes you just go back to their memories and then you just bring that up. So it's therapeutic fibbing, and then you're also redirecting strategies.
And it's also knowing your audience. If you're the one that's a caretaker and you're the one that's around mom or whomever a lot, mm-hmm. you know her strengths and weaknesses. Mm-hmm. You know how far this has progressed and all that stuff. So pick your battles. I mean, you know, you take it as far as you feel like you need to take it without going too far. And I love what you said, Katie, about redirecting. Get it over with. And then redirect and move on to something else. And you might just solve all the problems right there.
Yeah.
Because it's not selfish for you to protect yourself
Correct.
From going through that hurt over and over and over again, too. Because if she's asking about your dad who has passed away, and then you have to explain to her again and again and again, I mean, that can be for you very hurtful as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Good 100%. Stuff. Good
Thanks,
stuff.
Thanks, Katie.
Yep. Thank you so much. Where can people find out more if they want to reach you?
They can call us at 803-808-3477, or they can look up us online at OakleyVillageLexington.com.
Perfect. As always, appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
We'll see you guys again next week. Thank you, Miss Casey. Appreciate you so very much. Big afternoon drive coming your way at 4 o'clock. We'll look forward to that. For Katie, for Casey, I'm Kev. Thanks for listening. Good morning with